recap of Sunday's readings, it's time for Homily Highlights on Mater Dei Radio.
Today's homily highlight coming to you from Father Tim Furlow. Of course, he is the pastor at St. Patrick's Catholic Church here in Portland.
This is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So everything I say this month is going to be in the context of his heart. What's in the heart of Jesus? What does he want? What are his desires? And his core desire, as crazy as it is us. He wants us. He doesn't need anybody and he doesn't need anything. That's just part of being God. But he wants us. So his heart is on fire for us. And you can see it even in the artistic depiction of his heart. And with that, he wants us to go out. Like just like we did that procession, he wants us to take what we have here and to bring it out. I think our church, not just specifically this church, but like the church has become too insular in a lot of ways because of fear. We get locked down in fear and we kind of lock in. But the gospel is meant to be taken out. What does Jesus do right before he ascends? He blows the Holy Spirit onto the apostles and says, get out of here. Go to India, go to Africa, go to Greece, go to the four corners of the world and tell people they don't have to die if they don't want to anymore. I have freed them from the tyranny of the spirit of death. Go, bring it out. That's the gospel. And so the church gives us like the beginning of the gospel today. Genesis 3:15, right after the fall, is what's called the proto-evangelium, the first gospel. Because as soon as we mess it up, as soon as humanity messes it up, God steps right in and says, I'm going to put enmity between you and this evil. And a lot of scripture scholars point to that as like the evidence that Jesus is going to come, that God is going to save us from everything that our primordial parents just brought on to us. That word enmity is really important for us because in Hebrew, it's a very, very specific word, aiva. And aiva means you have a deep opposition to a person or a group of people. You're like deeply, deeply opposed. Well, fast forward to the gospel. The scribes show up. They see Jesus, God Almighty, wrapped in flesh. And they're like, it's the devil. He's the devil. What are they doing? They're taking aiva, which God gave us to be opposed to evil, and they're applying it to good. That's why Jesus says this is the unforgivable sin. Like if you're to the point where you call the Holy Spirit Satan, you're lost. Like you don't want to repent, you don't want to be forgiven, like you're lost. And so it's not that God can't forgive a sin like that. He can forgive any sin. It's covered by his blood. It's that when you get to that point, you usually don't want to be forgiven. You're so deceived that you don't come to his grace and his mercy. So they're taking that deep-seated opposition that should be pointed against evil, and they're pointing it at God himself. Here's the thing. It's easy for us after the fact, hindsight 2020, to look at the scribes and say, come on, get it together. God's right in front of you, and you can't tell that he's right in front of you? They couldn't. And we can fall into that trap. They made a mistake. And it's totally possible that we can make the exact same mistake, that we can take aiva, opposition, and apply it to God in wherever his spirit is moving. The church and the world, Christianity in general, is highly fractionated. You know, we've talked about the multi-church theory before, that there's actually a bunch of different churches inside of the church. It's just siloism. And in each little section, everybody thinks they're right, just like in Protestantism. You know, I guarantee Gresham Evangelical does not agree with Hillsborough Evangelical, though they're essentially the exact same thing. It's fractionated. Like that inside the church, capital C as well. And it's very, very easy for us to look at anybody that's outside of our group and say, well, obviously that's evil. Obviously that's wrong. And sometimes that's right. Sometimes there are evil things. But sometimes it's the movement of the Holy Spirit, and we fall into the judgment that Satan tempts us to. That spirit judgment, it just cuts us off from the movement of the Holy Spirit. Because what does the Holy Spirit want to do when we're with somebody? He knows exactly what that person needs. And so he's trying to enliven our minds and our hearts to say, hey, I can make you a conductor of exactly what I want to do in this person's life. You just got to say yes. And if deep in our heart, rather than judging the behavior, we judge the person, which only God can do, then we're cut off from what the Holy Spirit, he will not break that wall if we don't want him to. If we put that wall up without our permission, he won't go through it. And so we cut ourselves off from the movement of grace by judging the person rather than the actions. We are required to judge the actions. We're actually morally required to judge people's actions. But we can never judge a person, because you'd have to be divine to have the information even to do something like that. We just cannot see into somebody's heart, into their intentions. But this is what we fall into. This is what the enemy tempts us to in a fractionated church, to just look at a different group and say, I know exactly what's going on there, and it's wrong, and I'm right. And doesn't that feel nice? Now, there's a bit of truth in that, right? Because the fide depositum, the deposit of faith, it is what it is. God is truth. He is unchangeable. So we can either be in alignment with him or out of alignment with him. But through temptation, we take that too far, and then we apply it to a person. Aiva has an antonym, though. The antonym of aiva is probably the most common Hebrew word that everybody knows, shalom. And shalom, it doesn't just mean peace. Kind of like one of the reasons we don't do the sign of peace here at St. Patrick's is because I think sociologically, in a socio-religious sense, especially in America, the sign of peace in Mass has become more like a hello, when it's supposed to be a ritual action where you're saying, by the power of the living God, I will, in this moment, that a supernatural peace reign in your heart and make you impervious to the agitation of the world, the flesh, and the devil. When was the last time you felt that when you were in a Mass, like, ah, oh, peace be with you, peace be with you, peace be with you? Be like, it's not that. And so we take the desire for community, we bring it downstairs after Mass. But shalom is that deeper reality. And it's the antidote to the temptation of judgment, where we're taking aiva and we're applying it to the person, or maybe even the movement of the Holy Spirit, rather than just something that's wrong. Here's why this is important. I was talking to the Archbishop this last week, and we're totally aligned in basically everything, but we both really feel that the church is being prepared for something. Like, this is a time of preparation. And we don't know what we're being prepared for, but it's very clear that it's happening. That anybody that wants to know and love Jesus, they're being drawn deeper into the intimacy of that relationship and being cleansed of anything that would prevent that relationship. And those that are not interested in that are sadly going farther away. But those that do bring their yes to the table, we're just being prepped. And I think what we're being prepped for is, as the world goes off the rails, and the world always goes off the rails, remember, it's nothing new. It just goes in cycles of off the rails, semi-stability, off the rails, semi-stability. That's just what the secular world is. But as it continues to go more off the rails in our time, disciples of Jesus are really going to have to be peaceful people. And I don't mean like throwaway trope, be a person of peace kind of thing. I mean like supernatural shalom. Because I think a ton of people, especially in a place like Portland, are going to look at real followers of Christ and say, what on earth is going on in your soul? There's nothing out here that can get me anything close to what you clearly have. I want it. What team is that? Jesus? Sounds good. But it has to be bursting through our lives. We have to be people who are repentant of our sins and who are humble. Remember, Christianity is pay to play. It's not all are welcome, it's all are invited. If you receive the invitation, then we say, okay, I'm going to change my entire life by the power of the Holy Spirit to conform to Jesus himself. It's pay to play, and the payment is humility. Anybody who does the work of Christ through pride will be stopped at the door. The Holy Spirit wants to show the secular world what a person of shalom, what a person of peace can actually be. And they're going to see that, and the light will draw them right into the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So go. You know, the end of Mass in Latin, ite missa est. Ite is command form, go. It's not just like, you can go now, it's over. It's plural command, go. You just feasted on the actual Sacred Heart of Jesus, Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords. Go bring him out. So go and judge not, lest you be judged. Bring out what you receive here, the gospel. Bring out the Prince of Priests. Bring him out. He wants to be brought out so that he can draw people into his church, into his kingdom through us.
And that is today's homily highlight from Father Tim Furlow. He is the pastor at St. Patrick's Catholic Church here in Portland.